Hey, it's Coach Kate here, registered dietitian and owner of RD Kate Sports Nutrition. As a member of the LCC Stars Athletic Department, I teach our athletes what to eat and when to eat it on training days, competition days, and throughout the year. For over a decade, I've been helping athletes of all sports and levels meet their goals. RD Kate Sports Nutrition offers individual consulting, team services, on-demand courses, and downloadable handouts. For more information, visit rdkate.com.
Welcome back, and thank you to all of our listeners for making this show so popular. Today, I'm joined by Coach Boyer, and we're going to dive deep into the ideas of time and efficiency, rinse and repeat, and even more mental performance for you to grow from. Buckle up, as this one is going to be good. I appreciate you subscribing and sharing this podcast.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Coach Cut's Corner. Streaming bright from Michigan's capital city, this podcast is dedicated to helping you better understand the who, the what, and the why of mental performance, personal growth, and Lansing Stars baseball. Coach Cuts Corner, brought to you by iWatch.
In collaboration with Lansing Community College.
And now here's your host, Stephen Cutter.
Good morning, Coach Boyer. How are we doing this morning?
Great. How you doing?
I'm doing excellent. We're going to talk a little bit about efficiency this morning, rinse and repeat, and some mental performance. So hopefully you're ready to get rolling. When I speak about efficiency, I kind of turn back to what I used to know as New Year's resolutions. Did you, as at any time in your life, did you create New Year's resolutions?
Yeah, I used to do it, and none of them ever worked.
Would you like to dive a little deeper on why you think they didn't necessarily work?
Yeah, I was younger for sure. I'd say in the early stages of college, I think somewhere in those first couple of years.
Yeah.
And maybe even some high school stuff. But, you know, it just, the habits and routines you have far outweigh a goal that you're just going to set because it's a new year. And If it was important, you wouldn't wait till the new year to do it. So for me, it never was a big thing, and it definitely fizzled out.
Yeah, I think that's some audio gold there. You know, I wasn't much different. You know, I think you learn that as a young child. It's a new year. It's a new you. You get to, you know, you have some new expectations, and maybe you can set some new standards, and you throw out these goals that you want to see. And pretty soon you get to February, and they're out the window. And so along the way in the journey, I learned to start defining it a little more clearly and using one word for the year. So I think back to 3 years ago, my word was joy. And with joy, I wanted to be able to find joy in not only the things that makes you laugh or makes you cry, or, you know, those moments that everybody knows, you know, those are joyful moments. But I wanted to find joy in the little things, in the details. I wanted to find joy even in the hard times, knowing that just because something was hard, something good was going to come from it, and I was going to find joy. And so joy was my word 3 years ago. Last year, my word was consistency. And, you know, I'd speak about consistency a lot and how important consistency is. And I believe that consistency really is a superpower. If you can combine and stack bricks with the things that you're doing, these good habits and rituals, just as you spoke of, then you can really have some incredible things happen for you. So consistency was my word last year. And what's interesting about it is the joy word still carried on. And because I'd built those habits and rituals, and I still find joy today in all those little things. Instead of waiting to wear the pair of shoes for a special occasion, I wear the pair of shoes all the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's that idea. And this year, my word is efficiency. And the thought process through that is, if I can become more efficient, I will have more time. And most people go around talking about how busy they are, or how they don't have time for that, or they aren't able to do things. And it's all based upon time. If I can become more efficient, I'll have more time. And if I have more time, I can do more things, and I can invest that into family and teams and, you know, relationships and things like that. So that's kind of the thought process behind efficiency. And, you know, when you look at efficiency, does that draw out any ideas for you? And, you know, you've heard me talk about, you know, consistency, and you've heard me talk about efficiency. What do you think about that?
Yeah. For me, there's a 3-year head start you have. I think the joy one, I think I've touched on that. I think that me making this step was part of the last year of my life, for sure, was to do something I found joy in every day, something with high passion, something I have drive for.
Yeah.
But consistency and efficiency, I don't think I could be farther away from. Like, and I guess I think that in a positive way, because I see that I could be a really better at a lot of things I do. But right now I feel like I'm starting those, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm really starting to see every habit and areas where I've been efficient. You know, a good example, it was a simple one, but when we made the blast sheets, right, I created the blast sheet for each player. And for people who don't know, it's a blast sheet where players enter their data at the end of practice every day. And I remember thinking I wanted to see their numbers at the end of each day, see if something was off, and then I could just address it right away. And so that led to 20 plus sheets in a Google Doc. And I was going to tell the guys to tell me the numbers, and then I'd type them in. And then cheat him. He's like, why don't you just put our emails in there and have us do it? Like, couldn't be a better idea.
That's efficiency. You know?
And it was because I wanted to see it at the end of practice that I didn't think of that. So, you know, kind of the whole red car theory. If you're not looking for opportunities to be efficient, you probably won't see it, because I don't know, who knows how long I would have went down that path unless I, you know, wasn't listening to guys and ideas. So,
right. Yeah, I think that's the reticular activating system, or the RES system, in your brain. And certainly you, when you talk about the red car, that's one of those things that, you know, once you become aware of it, all of a sudden it starts popping up and it's everywhere. And never realized that before. And I think the red car theory is that same idea. And when you start getting somewhat intentional and really focused about efficiency or joy or, you know, whatever your word might be, you start attracting that, and you become really, really aware of it. I know student athletes at the collegiate level, one of the biggest things that I hear coaches across the country talk about is just what's most important for them, and that's time management. And, you know, you were a student athlete not too long ago, and you think about, like, your feelings of how just busy you were.
Oh, yeah.
You know, can you touch on that a little bit?
Yeah. When I was at my 4-year school, I was doing engineering at the time. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of schoolwork. So this may look a little different than people who had maybe some lesser degrees in terms of difficulty. But for me, I remember a typical weights day, you know, so Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we look like wake up at 6 a.m. You got weights until 7:30-ish,
yep.
You know, class starts usually around 8 or 9. If for the guys who have it start at 8, you know, they get out of there early. But, you know, you go weights. I would rush over to the cafeteria, slam down 6-7 runny eggs.
Nice.
As much food as I could. And then I'd go straight to class until roughly, you know, 11 or 12, maybe a little later some days with labs and whatnot. And then, in between that time period, between class and practice, we had extra hitting groups with our assistant coach. So that was a 30-minute block, I think, if I remember right. And so you had to make time every day to do that. So you'd scramble over back to the field, hit for 30 minutes, back to class. Lunch is in there too. So you got to go eat lunch at some point. Sometimes you didn't get to. Most times you did. Then you got practice. Practice would start every day at 3. We'd go 3 to 6, 6:30-ish. Cafeteria closed at 7. So we would scramble straight to the cafeteria. No other thing.
Mm-hmm.
Locker room, right. Cafeteria,
yep.
Whole team. And then close that thing down and go home, shower, and study. And so by that time, we were looking at almost 8 o'clock. So I'd be getting back to the school around 8:30, 9, and hit the library with my other guys that I studied with. And we'd be in the library till at least 10 or 11 every night because it was expected you were going to put in 2 to 3 hours. And then you wake up and you rinse and repeat.
Right. And we'll get into that rinse and repeat in just a little bit. But going back to the efficiency thing, with the just as you detailed out your schedule, we did the same thing for our team, and we detailed out their 24-hour schedule. And one of the first things they saw on it was a quote that says, "Many things aren't equal, but everyone gets the same 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We make time for what we truly want." And their schedule is broken down by practice, sleep, weights, class, study tables, personal growth, and free time. And their two biggest things with the understanding of knowing that everybody gets 168 hours in a week. Their two biggest things that they have the most time for is sleep, 8 hours a night, which is 56 hours a week, and free time, which is 46 hours a week. And then we show that practice takes up 21 and weights take up 9 and classes take up 12 to 15 and study tables take up, 9. And we break this all down and we show them what every day looks like for them moving forward. And so they have a large calendar and they can see and what it does once you start identifying that you have free time. For our student athletes, what we typically find is their free time is spent on their phones. So if they want to get better at something, maybe it's their speed, maybe it's their mobility, maybe it's their hitting, maybe it's their fielding, maybe it's they want to raise their GPA because they know how important it is to have a high GPA to be able to get out of the junior college level and get to a place that you want to go. They can start taking their free time and investing. Maybe it's 30 minutes a day. Maybe it's, 15 minutes a day. And they can start pulling away from the phone a little bit and start growing. And most realize that when you have 46 hours a week in free time, that's more than the average American works in 1 week.
Yeah. That's
crazy. How bad do you truly want it? And so that's to kind of sum up efficiency. That's what things look like and how we define those things. It's easy to say you need to have really good time management skills. It's a whole nother thing to show how to do that. And to be able to show that, you've got to be able to kind of lay it out so that people can see it.
Yeah. And I think, I just laid out my whole thing from when I was at a university and I think we could have been a lot more efficient with our time. Because like here, we have our practice is 2 hours. And well, we're indoors.
Right.
2 hours. And it, start to finish is efficient. And I love that because we would go a lot longer, but I think we got out less. what I mean? So being efficient with your practices, just because we practice 2 hours, I think we get a ton out of it. And that's another thing with efficiency.
Yeah, that's good. Rinse and repeat. When I say that, what do you think of?
I think of basically the daily routine of the work that you're doing, So for me, it's getting there, hitting with the guys, having all your ducks in a row, and then just go to bed, wake up, and do the same thing.
That's good. So that's a good side of rinse and repeat. I think on the mental performance side, the rinse and repeat is really good too. Something happens, you let it go and you get back up and you go again and you just kind of keep attacking your days, your events, all that kind of stuff. You just keep going after it. And it somewhat falls in the theory of if you're going to get knocked down, you have to get back up. You're only truly failing if you stay down, it's that same theory. So rinse and repeat can be really good. Of course, when I look at those words, I think of the 180 side of it, the rinse and repeat of being extremely easy. Think about from a coaching staff, we have a leadership that we do once a week where the team comes together and it's something that's really special and helps get our team to pull on the rope the same way. And there's usually movies, slides, speakers, you know, just different things. I could do the same thing on year one that we're doing on year three. I could easily rinse and repeat there.
Yeah.
But the people in the room that are sitting there taking notes and watching, the people in the room are different. It's a different team. They need different things. Yeah. We could do the same thing from a practice plan. We could rinse and repeat. You know, January 15th practice plan is the same as it was in year one and year two, because we've had a lot of success. So why shouldn't we just keep repeating what we do?
Yeah.
You know, can you tell me why we shouldn't be repeating? We've had success, so we should be able to just keep doing what we were doing.
Yeah, that's a good point. I have the same thing with the other assets of the team. You know, the weights, you can keep that boring and dull. You know, we switch that up. The hitting part of it every day, you could just, you know, put on the practice schedule, you know, hey, the machines are in this cage, flips are in this cage, use these bats. But different drills, different types of timing, tempo, different environments, med ball drills. I've added new med ball drills, you know, consistently learning. I got some from the ABCA, got some from, I think, from the Wake Forest thing. But just constantly adding, you know, changed our dynamic warm-up that we do before weights.
Right.
Just always, you know, keeping it going, not rinse and repeat too much.
Yeah. And I think that's what growth looks like. You're constantly trying to get better. You're trying to move into a little better space. And, you know, when we talk about that rinse and repeat and we talk about efficiency and we talk about time, one of the most common things, and I'm sure you've heard it and I'm sure our listeners have heard it, but it's get 1% better. And defining 1% in a day, if you take that by minutes, talking about time here, so it's 14 minutes and 24 seconds. That's 1% of a 24-hour day. And what can you do in 14 minutes and 24 seconds, or what can you do in 15 minutes to help yourself get better today? And there are so many areas that you could go into with that.
Yeah.
You know, I think of like reading, journaling, exercising, you know, just so many different communication, you know, saying hello to people, you know, that kind of stuff, growing relationships. But then think about it like, okay, so everybody says 1% better. Can you do 2%? Well, what's 2%? Well, it's 28 minutes and 48 seconds. So can you spend a half hour a day getting yourself better? And most people, if you look at the free time, you know, which we're just talking about college athletes at this point, but you think about, you know, people that work a 9-to-5 and have families and, you know, have all these, the chauffeuring their kids around or just different things, but you think about the free time that they have and you take, and so instead of watching, you know, the TV for X amount of hours and scrolling on the phone and getting lost in these rabbit holes on, you know, social media, YouTube, whatever it might be, I'm going to take 30 minutes of that and I'm going to get better. And pretty soon you start just stacking these bricks. And once you start doing that, you learn what efficiency is, and you start learning how to get better and better. And when it comes to rinse and repeat, in some ways, if you've got good goals, you've got good habits, you've got good rituals, the rinse and repeat will be really good because that's where consistency comes in. So it's one of those words that can be a great word and it can be a really bad word, just like the word discipline. Discipline. Yeah. A lot of times if you say discipline to somebody and you say, what do you think of? It's going to be something bad. And the statistics show that. But obviously we both know, and a lot of other people know, that discipline is something that is very serving and can be a very, very good thing.
Yeah. The rinse and repeat is huge. And I think if you do it wrong, like you said, you're just rinsing and repeating the same filth.
Right.
You know? Yeah, you got to clean it up sometimes and do things you don't want to do, you know.
I want to talk a little bit about visualization and manifesting. And I took some thoughts back on this when I was thinking about what we're going to talk about and what directions we're going to go. And I go back to year one and I go back to that first team. First time, you know, coaching college baseball, we had a smaller group, 27 players. They didn't have a lot of things, you know, they didn't have matching practice attire or hats or anything like that. So we didn't start with a ton because everything was new. And we started building them to go to the College World Series on day one. And that was something that we had to figure out because we never, you know, our coaching staff had never been there. We didn't know what it looked like. We didn't know what it smelled like. We didn't know what the crowds were like. You know, we didn't even know what the weather was like in Oklahoma at the College World Series. So we just started visualizing what it was going to look like. And thankful for social media, there's tons of videos and pictures of, you know, aerials of the field and other teams winning and things like that. And we just started showing our players what that looked like. And pretty soon it led to manifesting and we started dogpiling. And I remember we would practice it and most people would be like, are you kidding me? Do you understand how people can get hurt? The 2017 team that went to the College World Series, when they won their super regional, they dogpiled. And I believe one of their starting infielders got hurt and missed the World Series from the dogpile. So we were actually practicing it indoor and pretty soon you fast forward to May and there they are dogpiling. And there they are at the College World Series. And we were all taking in the sights and sounds. And I remember hearing multiple times from those players saying, I feel like I've already been here before. And that's when I really understood how important manifesting and visualization is. And so that's a large scale example of that, but you can do that in your life too. You can start visualizing what you want. And they say that for people that have success and whatever they're looking to do when or wherever they're looking to go, those people tend to have been there thousands of times prior in their head and they visualized it. And that's where visualization comes in, because you start taking what you're seeing and you start putting some action with that. And when you take those two things, you start building a belief system. And we know how important our belief systems are here. We have one of the strongest belief systems across the board when it comes to student athletes, because it's a muscle and it's taught. And instead of saying you need to have a good belief system, we show them how to have a strong belief system. Anything to feed off that?
Yeah, with the belief system, I remember talking to you and saying it's like the habit loop. Like your belief is a habit. And mm-hmm. I remember we had touched on it with me and in my career, which is not very relevant to right now. But you know, what I believed in my career was not serving me positively in certain aspects. And I think just for these young guys to be aware of what they're believing, I think that's the first step in the battle, yeah. You know?
I'll show basically a circle, and at the top of the circle says belief, and on one side of the circle says action, and on the other side of the circle says results. And if you start with a weak belief in something, you're going to put weak action into it. You're going to get weak results from that, and then it goes back up and just stacks onto that belief system. You know, I'm not good at math. So that's your belief system. You don't put a lot of work into the math class because you believe that you're not good in it. Therefore, you get bad results, which stacks back on your belief system that I'm not good in math. Now, the 180 of that is I am great in math. You take massive action and you get massive results and it stacks back on it. So it all starts with your belief system. Whether you believe you can or you believe you can't, most often you're going to be right.
Oh yeah. I mean, as simple as this, I everybody usually hates math. And I remember, I'll never forget this. One of my very, very first math teachers I ever had, his whole thing was math is fun. And that's the first thing I remember about math.
Love that.
So ever since a freaking kid, all I believed was math is fun.
Right.
And I remember I had a boring history teacher. And ever since then, I believe history is boring, yeah, even though I know it's not. And it could be that simple.
Really powerful stuff. Thank you for joining me. Until next time, thank you to all of our listeners and Coach Boyer for joining me today in the WLNZ studios. We are all playing a game we can't win, so why not play it to the utmost? Go all in and go Stars. Coach Cut's Corner is recorded live in the WLNZ studios. Engineering and production assistance are provided by Dedalian Lowry. Thanks for listening. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, please share it and follow us on all the platforms of social media. You can find more about our program at lccstars.com. And donations to our baseball program can be made at the same site. See you next time.